Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody do this. Don't wave at it. Just wave this way. Don't. You feel something? Something's there. He's called God. The Bible says that we live and breathe and have our being in Him. In Him. It's amazing how many atheists there are out there. Just tell them, stop breathing. All right, if you don't believe in God, stop breathing. Real simple. And as they begin to die, you know the first words are going to come, oh, God! Oh, God, help me. Well, I thought you didn't believe in God. See, it's in us. Amen. You just can't help it. People try to force things away and put it down. And man, I just, see, it's already in us. Because we came from God. We've been sent into this realm on a mission to fulfill. Amen? And one of the things we want to do is fulfill it. But I'm going to tell you that there's distractions. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Who owns the technology? Satan. And you know, he keeps increasing technology more and more. So people are so consumed. They're so consumed with technology that it's causing lack of fellowship. You know, people don't want to talk to anyone no more. They want to text them. See, it's actually causing lack of fellowship. So it's actually causing lack of accountability. People are now running to the phone instead of the throne. I've seen the phone being some of the most stumbling block in people's lives and change of course of life. It's incredible. Phones, music, TV, all kinds of technology where we've got to be wise to know what is and what isn't. How much and how much not. Amen? Computers. And you can get anything on the computer. They get porn, they get funny things. They get all kinds of technology, a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, a lot of date. People are dating through the computers. You know how many people are dead because they dated through the computer? Why, oh, it sounded so wonderful. I mean, this is what technology is doing. It's breaking relationship. There's no more relationship. It's, I mean, man, you go to a DMV, everybody's on their phone. The Division of Driver Motor Vehicles, you know, people are waiting there. People are waiting in line at shopping. Hey, man, I'll talk to you. Here, let me text you. They're right next to you. Forget talking to the person. They'll just text them. They don't even want to call you anymore. I mean, you know. But it's causing so much stumbling block. Because, see, in technology, the enemy can sway you to go to your past. He can bring your old character right back up through technology. There's a lot of phone stars out there. They couldn't be a rock star, so they became a phone star. They replaced the phone and exchanged it from the throne to the phone. Oh, they started off good in the spirit, but once the phone came, bam, they're gone. Hello, God? Oh, it's George. Oh, it's Sue. Oh, let me text them. Now the phones become the God. I'm telling you, technology is a stumbling block. I mean, if you don't have dominion over your phone, how can you have dominion over demons? If you can't have dominion over your phone, how can you have dominion over any temptation? That's the greatest temptation. Calls you out all the time. Come, use me. There's somebody you need to contact. And it's not God. It's lust. It's lying. It's deception. It's the old man, the past. What it's doing is preventing people from walking in the Spirit. Let me tell you, if the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with what you eat, he'll kill you with technology. His purpose has come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's amazing, people still don't get it. Boy, I'm telling you, open that door. I'll tell you, the first thing that comes out of a phone is a deaf and dumb spirit. Comes flying out of the phone, wraps its arms around you, makes you real stupid. Huh? You become a phone addict. It's not technology, it's textnology. Hallelujah. Turn to John chapter 1, please. We got to deliver people from phonitis. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we're to rule over the phone. The phone's not to rule over us. We're to rule over technology. We're not to have technology rule over us. In John chapter 1. Oh, glory. Man, people fight over music. Do you ever drive in a car? Hey, would you change the station? No. Hey, come on, put something good on it. No. I mean, fangs come out. People kill each other over a song. They want to throw him out of the car. You don't like that? Sit in the back. I don't want to hear that demon song. You know what I do? I'll get out of the car. See ya. I ain't going to associate with it. That's why I bring my own wheels. Always have a way of escape. Bring your own music. Bring your own wheels, you know. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, would you read it with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So when we began to wave and we felt something, we decreed that it was God. People call it air. This is the definition that they have what they breathe, air. So they just look at it as air. But it's all a part of God, because anything that is made is of Him. All things were made from Him, through Him, and for Him. Everything that is made. Amen? It says, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness does not comprehend it. So again, we talked about the other day about the ways of darkness. So when you're in darkness, you can't comprehend. See, you can't even see the darkness because you're in it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the only glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is who we call Jesus the Christ. The Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. His presence came into this realm. Came into the realm that He created. So it's pretty amazing. Sometimes we have a hard time trying to comprehend something that He came from Himself. Does everybody get that? He came from Himself. He came, He created, stepped in creation, and came Himself. It's pretty amazing to me. The Word, the Christ, Jesus made everything. Even made Himself. He prepared a body for Himself when He came. There isn't anything that was made that's not made without Him. Amen? In Colossians chapter 1. There's going to be a lot of surprised people when they pass on to the other realm. You made this? And find out that they can't participate of it. In Colossians chapter 1. In verse 13, it says, let's read this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That kingdom, we look at the kingdom as a, well, sometimes we look at it in a natural arena of a kingdom with a castle and all kinds of, you know, with a king. But this kingdom also, and I'm not saying that there's not the kingdom, but there's a part of the kingdom that is all one of His creation. We're going to get to a wild, strange point here tonight, but all one of His creation. This is His kingdom. Well, there's evil there. Yes, it's still a part of the kingdom. See, He owns it all. He created it all. He's even letting evil hang for a little while. Eventually, they're going to all get thrown out. But there's still kingdom. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. But even still, even the kingdom of darkness is still in the kingdom because God owns it all. Does everybody get it? Let's go a little further. And it says that He's delivered us from darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His, of the Son of His love, in whom we have what? Redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, meaning the unseen realm, and that are on earth, meaning the seen realm. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and what? For Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In other words, when He created, He's before all things. He's before everything. So everything He's created, He was before it. Does everybody get it? And He is, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. In other words, all authority, guidance, and so forth. Acknowledgement. Again, all things were made through him and in him, in Christ. In Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So in Christ, the kingdom is all there. Everything is in him. Now, where'd you read chapter 5 and verse 17? Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ, meaning you have become a part of his kingdom eternal. In other words, you have become a part of the unseen. If you are in Christ, you're a part of everything. In Christ, we are a new creation. In other words, I'm one person in two places. I'm going to say that again. I'm one person, but I'm not in just this place because I'm a part of everything he's created. So I'm everywhere with him. One person, two realms. In Christ, as a new creation, we are positioned with authority and dominion. See, in Christ, we are actually a new creation. In other words, we've been allowed to access the realm of all creation from Creator. In this, we're one. So wherever he is, we are. I know this may be a little hard to understand because we're so bound by the rules and regulations of the physical that sometimes we have a hard time letting go of these things. In Ephesians chapter 1, everyone say, I'm in Christ, a new creation. I'm everywhere in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. So does that set limitations on us? No, it removes them. Come on. It removes them. See, so the only way the enemy can set limitations on you is for what you think. He sets the limitation. Because as a man thinks, so he is. So he sets the limitation so you don't know who you are. Because his main priority is to constantly steal your identity. If he can steal your identity of who you are in Christ, he can keep you bound in this realm all the time. So the only thing you're constantly doing is reacting. You react to everything, emotionally disturbed and everything else. Fearful, can't see it all away. The only thing you're concerned about is you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read it together. Blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. Come on now. So there isn't anything that we can't have or we can't do. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the where? Heavenly places. That's the place of position. In Christ. In other words, everywhere. Everywhere. In Christ. Heavenly places in Christ, that is the eternal realm. That is a position God has placed. Watch, Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, no, let's keep going on 1. I'm sorry. Now look at verse 4. Just as he what? Chose us where? In him. Before what? The foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So is it his good pleasure? Is it according to his will? Yes, that you and I become adopted. But see, adopted is accepted or rejected. It was predestined for me and you to become one in Christ with him, to have every spiritual blessing. See, this is where new identity comes of who you are. We've been adopted into the other realm. One person, two realms. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us what? Accepted in the beloved. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in what? All wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things where? In Christ, both which are what? In the heavenly places and which are on earthly places in Him. In Him also we have obtained a what? An inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Again, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. That means that we are seated in these places. We are spiritually positioned in the eternal realm because we are one person, but we live in two realms. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it? And you He what? Made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the what? Lust of our flesh. Now, where is the lust of the flesh? Is that in the spirit realm or in this realm? It's in this realm. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together in what? Made us sit together where? In heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are seated, we are spiritually positioned in Christ with power, dominion, authority, so that we are wherever He is, we are. See, we can't see ourselves in that because that identity of self still battles. We look in the mirror and the only thing we do is see us. We've got to really begin to look beyond all of these things. We've got to really look at who we really are. We are the offspring of the Eternal One. We are actually seated everywhere. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, man, He created all things. So am I anywhere He is? Yes. So can I take dominion in Mars? Sure can. How about Jupiter, Neptune? I can take dominion anywhere, and so can you. The problem is we don't see ourselves beyond because the enemy sets limitations through the thought patterns. As a man thinks, so he is. See, so one of the things that the devil wants to do to you is try to get you caught up here to disqualify you there. Is everybody all right? Amen. Heavenly places in Christ. It is strategically positioned. We are strategically positioned in spiritual realm as a new creation. God specifically has you spiritually positioned. You are seated specifically for a purpose and for a function, just like principalities. Has everybody got it? Of the Lord's kingdom, not Satan's kingdom. We are seated in heavenly places, spiritually positioned, strategically positioned. And so there's a battle going on, isn't there? There's a war going on. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that. Let's read it. Is everybody there? Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. See, this is the conclusion. He tells us it's principalities, powers of darkness, rulers of against powers, rulers of darkness of this age. And here's the conclusion. Against all spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? Heavenly places. So there's a battle for your seat. Does everybody get it? There's a battle going on for your seat. The battle for position in heavenly places. The purpose we're positioned there is to battle evil forces. It's amazing how many people don't get that yet. We are battling evil forces. That's what allows me and you to do spiritual warfare, because we're already out there. That's all we're doing, is assisting us in these places as we are assisting Christ. Is everybody okay? One person, two realms. Now, these evil forces, they want to disarm you, disqualify you, discourage you, dismantle you, disable you, so that your position is disqualified, nullified. Does everybody got it? Because he wants to take your position of authority and power and dominion. So the lack of spiritual warfare will lose your position. Does everybody get it? That's why people fall. That's why people go back, because there's no warfare. See, because they don't really know who they are. They're so concerned about who they are here, they don't realize who they are there. Oh, I'm telling you, it's time to wake to this, to know who you are there. We are in Christ, seated strategically. That means wherever he is, we are. He's just waiting for us to do something here, to assist us there, which assists the kingdom of God. Again, we have a hard time because we only know carnality. We only understand carnality. We've been caught up in the matrix for so long, it's ridiculous. We believe everything we're told. Everything we taste, we believe. Everything we see, we believe. But we're living in a lie. It's called the land of deception. The world is deceived. It's controlled by deception. Everything is to try to occupy us, to mislead us, to prevent us from maintaining that position so it can be dismantled or disarmed. People are selling their positions for wealth and fame here. They're selling their positions for lust. They're selling their positions, and they have no idea. Just like Esau. What did God say? I hate Esau. Why? Because he sold his birthright. Is everybody all right? Galatians 2. Oh, glory. Heavenly places. For those of you waiting for the title. Man, Paul got such a revelation on this in verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Let's do it. I have been what? Crucified with Christ. How can he be crucified with Christ? Because he's what? He was in Christ. Now, but he got saved after Christ was crucified. But in Christ, there's no distance of time. See, in that realm, it's totally different. He was crucified with Christ. We who are in Christ, because we are in Christ, we're crucified with him. That is the only way that we can get that position. We had to be crucified with him. See, he paid the price for us, though. He took the pain so that we could be crucified with him. Is everybody okay? Amen. Let's speak this. I have been crucified with Christ. Look it. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Wow. I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We who are maintain this position stays continuously crucified with Christ. It was an exchange of ID, removing the old and accepting the new. By maintaining a spiritual position, you maintain a new creation in the physical and in the spiritual. Now the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So without warfare, without intercession, without prayer, without binding and loosening, without calling destructive fire down on territories, without even being able to see there, you will constantly lose your position. That's why battles are lost. That's why people are taken out of position. They're knocked off their seat. Doesn't mean you can't get back up on it. Doesn't mean you don't battle for it again. Amen? But the thing is they weren't consistent. Consistency is the key for victory. Without consistency, there can't be victory. You won't be victorious. You will lose battles that God has sent you to win. God sets up the battles for you for victory. That's why. So you can take the land. So you can take territory, spiritual territory. So if you lose the battle in the spirit realm, you know what happens in the physical? Amen. So if you go astray in the physical realm, what happens in the spiritual realm? One person, two realms. Jesus was the prime example of it, wasn't he? What did he say? I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Man, he was walking on the other side all the time. That's why it's so important about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's in Christ. See, there's still too many believers that are in the outer court, and the reality of their identity is being stolen or not formed. Even Paul said that Christ be formed in you. What was he waiting for them? Come on, man, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get filled. Get empowered. Why? Because in Christ the scales come off. In Christ you're able to walk in both realms. Now, remember that the enemy's going to try to come and what? Bring blindness again. You know, there's many people who used to say, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. Well, what are you doing now? Well, you've compromised that. You've not been consistent. You've slacked off. You've gotten lazy. You've gotten complacent then. Well, you know, I just don't. No. There is no excuse. This is a fight for life. It's not a fight for possessions. It's a fight for position, which is a fight of life. That your position in the spirit realm and that heavenly places, that seed, is going to affect many souls. But people aren't willing to look at the ripple effect. Amen? They're not willing to look at the ripple effect of everything that they do. Some people don't even know that they're not even on the seat anymore. They haven't even considered it because they haven't comprehended spiritual blessings in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ. One person, two realms. Hallelujah! 2 Corinthians 13, heavenly places. Oh, glory. In verse 4. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ, that Jesus Christ is where? In you, unless indeed you are what? Let me share with you. When you lose your identity, you become disqualified. Does everybody get it? It's like losing your ID to get into a place. You got ID? Sometimes people, they have special ID to swipe to get into a location or a building. You lose your ID, you lose your position. Because it's just been stolen. But I'm a good person. I work hard. I do this. I do that. That's a lot of eyes. It's got nothing to do with it. Are you consistent in warfare in the spirit? Are you consistent to maintain your position? Are you consistent to repent? Are you consistent to examine yourself? Are you consistent to examine your motives? Are you consistent? Because, see, if you're not going to expose yourself, God will. Well, I'm a believer. Well, then you better start believing. That means to follow. Romans chapter 8. Heavenly places. Glory. Are you getting this? Praise God, me too. Verse 1, let's grow for it. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ, to those who are in Christ, to those who are where? In Christ. There's no condemnation. In other words, you are not condemned. But here's the qualification. What is it? Who do not walk according to the what? Flesh. That's the qualification. Why? Because if you're walking according to the flesh, are you seated in heavenly places? No, you've been knocked off, man. You've lost it. Why? Because if you walk according to the flesh, you've lost your ID. But according to the what? Spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wow. So if I'm walking according to the Spirit, I'm maintaining my seat in heavenly places, aren't I? That means if I'm maintaining my seat in heavenly places, I'm maintaining my ID, and I'm not walking according to the flesh, I'm walking according to the Spirit. That means I'm in a place where it's no longer I that live, but He that lives. And my desire is not for my life, it's for His, because I'm new. I'm not who I used to be. I'm no longer in survival mode, I'm surrender mode. I'm a brand new spanking creation in Christ Jesus. Ooh. Colossians 3. Now let's go to Romans 12. That looks good. In him. You know, something that David said in his psalm, he said, man, when I die, I'm going to wake in your image. I'm going to be like you. See, because you's going to catch up. Say, I'm going to catch up. Romans 12. Is everybody there? Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of what? Faith. For as we have many members in what? One body, but all members do not have the same function. In other words, your place of seat is a specific function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. One body where? In Christ. And individual members of what? One another. So we're individual members of one another, but everyone has a specific function from that seat of authority and position. But everyone, to maintain that position, must maintain his ID. It must be consistent. See, the consistency is so important. Why? So we don't lose our ID. We don't lose sight. We don't put ourselves first. Amen. Colossians 3. In these seats, spiritual seats, we are considered kings. That's why he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God. He rules all things. But in these places of position, we are considered kings. But if you don't know that, if you don't know who you are, they'll mess with you. They'll make you think that you're worthless. They'll make you think, okay, as a man thinks, so he is. See, everything is about disarming you, stealing your place of position. Why? Because your place of position is vitally important. It is a matter of life and death. God is depending on us to maintain our position, not only seated in heavenly places, but physically. I wasn't supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in an RV traveling. Hallelujah. No, this is where God has placed me. He has positioned me here as he positions us here. And if we're positioned here and we're consistent in maintaining position here, knowing and maintaining our identity, we'll be consistent and positioned there. Amen. Hallelujah. Philip, where did I say to go? Colossians 3. Cool, are we there? And verse 3. No, start with 1. I love it. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Hello? So what's the enemy trying to do? Get you so caught up here, you lose sight of who you are there. For you died, and your life is where? Hidden with Christ, or in Christ, in God. That's where our true life is. Our true life is not here. It's amazing how many people are still fighting for their life because they think their true life is here. It's not here. It's not in this side. It's not in this realm. We're just strategically positioned here because we're strategically positioned in the other realm. See, but when you get so caught up in you, the enemy disarms you there. See, this is the battle that's going on right now. That's why so many battles have been lost. That's why so many IDs. You know, in the world of gangs, that what they do is they take others' colors. Those are their IDs. See, they wear motorcycle jackets and all kinds of logos on them, you know, like the Hells Angels and all these guys. And what they do is they steal one another's colors because they're stealing their IDs. They battle. They fight for their IDs. It's amazing how wicked fights to the death for their ID, but the righteous just sometimes just doesn't seem to. Hello? Let's grow a little further. Yeah. Okay. For you died, verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with God, with Christ and God. When Christ, who is what? Our life, appears, then you also will appear with him where? In glory. Therefore what? Put to death your members which are on the... Oh man, this is powerful. What's he say? Look at the members that are on the earth, you that's on the earth, the person that's on the earth, one person, two places, the part of you that's on the earth, and the part of you that's seated in the heavenly places. He's saying, listen, you need to take care of this one on the earth. What's he saying? He's saying, you need to put to death your members which are on the earth. What is it? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to what? Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So he's saying, look, you need to take care of this in the physical realm. Get rid of these things. Put them to death. Why? Because those are the things that are stealing your ID. They're what? Stealing your ID. And if they're stealing your ID, what is it doing? Moving you out of position. You're losing your seat. See, there's a battle in the spiritual realm for position, always. Every day there's that battle. Every day the enemy's trying to snare you. So you lose sight, so you don't think about the other side, so you don't put the Lord before you. You make decisions without the Lord. Philippians 3. Hallelujah. Come on, where are you? There it is. Philippians chapter 3. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Let's start at verse 7. Paul makes a statement. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found where? In him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may what? Know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 20, let's read it together. For our what? Oh, hallelujah, is where? It's in heaven. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Quit living for your life here. You already live somewhere else. Does everybody get that? We already live there. We're there. We're in Christ. But we must maintain a position here to be an example. Jesus came so that he could be the way, truth, and life, didn't he? So that they can get in a position there. So we're still now his hands, his feet. We carry his presence. The kingdom of God is within us. So we're carrying. We are now the port for individuals by the things that we speak. That's why power runs through us to lay hands on the sick. That's why the anointing is there. That's why the words of God are placed within us to speak his words, not our own. That's why we have dominion. We have dominion because we're seated in the heavenly place. That's how we have dominion here. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God who what? Always. He always. If you're being led by the Spirit, he always leads us in triumph. Where? In Christ. In other words, he doesn't lose battles. He always leads us in victory. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Why? Because we are seated in heavenly places. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma of death leading to death, and to the other aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many pleading the word of God, peddling the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. One person, two realms. Now as kings, remember the enemy is trying to dismantle you. Now in the physical realm, we've got, remember King David. And in fact, the Bible tells us, and you don't have to go there, in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 4, you can just write this down. King David had said it was a time when kings went out to battle, and he stayed behind. So he decided to go up on a rooftop and become Peeping David. And he fell into fornication, and in that fornication, is that the ice cream truck? And in that fornication, is everybody with me? Don't go to the ice cream truck. I heard the sound of the ice cream truck. Hallelujah. You know, ice cream can pull you right out of the spirit sometimes. That technology, they sway you in through the music. But anyways, King David was supposed to be out battling. And he was swayed by the enemy to stay in. And so by staying him, that night he walked out on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba naked, cleansing herself. And he decided to take her. She got pregnant. He ended up killing basically his armor bearer, his right-hand man, right-arm man. The man that he trusted, the man that used to sleep at the end of his house. This man loved King David. He ended up killing him to get his wife. And the judgments of God were strong. In fact, every one of David's sons fell into fornication. They started off good, but everyone fell into fornication also because of the curse that came down the family line. David lost his son, and God would not allow him to build his house. He had to pass it on to his son to build. Saul, King Saul, same way. He went out to go battle, but he didn't do it according to the way God said to do it. Because, see, lust got David, pride got Saul. So Saul came back with stuff, and he was supposed to kill everyone and everything, and he refused. And Samuel, the prophet, told Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. And you have rebelled, and rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. So rebellion is witchcraft. Why? Because it's influence of the powers of darkness. And when there's rebellion, and in your life, when there's rebellion manifested, it means you've lost your ID, and you've been dismantled from your position in spiritual places. Lust, pride, all of these things will cause you to lose position. Is everybody okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, would you read it with me? But we know that the law, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'll get there. Verse 8, therefore, do not be what? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And I'm going to close at Luke 14. Remember, lack of consistency of warfare in the spirit brings positional disarming, and God will mistrust us. So we're either gaining his trust or losing it. In Luke 14, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I'm telling you, there's a lot of disqualified people that don't even know they're disqualified. They think they're all right. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. One thing we don't want to be known as, one who didn't finish. Amen? Why? Because we want to maintain that position. Consistency is the key to victory. Don't let the enemy sway you. We want to stay positioned in the spiritual place, that heavenly places where God has paid the price for me and you, so that we can warfare. One person, two realms. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that this seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb and that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, I pray for all those that are not only here, but those who are watching, those who are listening, that the reality of revelation would be an impartation to them, that they may know who they are and that they would battle and fight to maintain their ID and their spiritual position that God has placed and predestined for them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.